And what was their real reward? Verse 17 we read last week out of Daniel chapter 1. God gave them knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning. And whenever the king questioned them, he found them 10 times wiser than any of the other magicians in the land. And that was last week. The challenge for us last week was to stand out in our current culture and society and allow God to change Durban North by the way we stand out. And now this week is all how. How do we stand out? And we've kind of labeled it as standing up in truth, if you're taking notes. So how do we do that? How do we stand up in the company of our friends and our family? How do we stand up when something just isn't right? How do we do it? And tonight we're going to look at how King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel specifically had a wonderful, deep, and meaningful conversation. How Daniel stood up for the truth regardless of the cost. So we're going to read together, if you've got your phones open, Daniel chapter 4 from verse 19. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time. His thoughts terrified him. So the king said, "Belteshazzar, don't let this dream or its meaning alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for birds. Your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky. Your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with wild animals until seven times pass by for him.' This is the interpretation, your majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from the people, and you will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox, and be drenched with dew from heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue." It's quite a long passage, but I just had to tell you the whole story to give you context of where we're going tonight. But I want you to briefly just look at verse 19, because I believe there's a massive lesson in there for all of us tonight. Just verse 19, then we're going to jump around a little. "Then Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, 'Do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and the meaning to adversaries.'" Now, you could ask the question, why? Why is Daniel so troubled? Why is he struggling to interpret this dream for the king? Especially because this is the guy who completely wrecked his life. This is the guy who invaded Jerusalem and completely wrecked the Jewish culture, completely wrecked Daniel's life. Why on earth would Daniel be worried? This is the ideal time to give the king a bit of his own medicine, a bit of smile on the face going, "You've got it coming. my God's going to sort you out. Does Daniel do this? No. Isn't this amazing? And that's the massive life lesson for us today, that when someone wrecks your life, what do you do? Do you do what our current culture kind of tells us to do, eye for an eye, I'll sort you out, the wheel turns? Or do we follow Daniel's way of life, where he reveals to us what God really wants us to do? When someone wrecks your life, what do you do? Daniel, what did you do? Daniel finds himself completely overwhelmed by compassion that any human being would possibly have to endure something like this. You see, Daniel has forgiven the king and put it all in the past. That's the life lesson for us tonight. When someone wrecks your life, are you able, are you willing to forgive them? Because if we don't, we cannot have the kind of conversation that Daniel had with King Nebuchadnezzar. In a modern day context, someone does something that really hurts you deeply. It's someone that you love and respect. They hurt you and they know that they've hurt you. And you every now and then make sure that they remember. Now weeks go by. This is either at work or at school. Weeks go by and you find out that this person has done something completely dodgy, something completely unethical. Or you find out in a school context that all of a sudden this person's boyfriend or girlfriend's cheating on them. Now, what do you do with that juicy information? Do you go and walk up to them with a funny smile on your face, with a bit of pride, walk up to the person and go, "You know what? I know that your girlfriend is kissing that guy." Or you go to that work colleague going, "You know what? I know. I'm phoning SARS." Hey? What happens immediately after any of those scenarios? Is it this peaceful, tranquil little moment where the person goes, "Oh, that's okay"? No, it's this massive fight, and all of a sudden the blame game just keeps going. In school, it's a cat fight, or if it's a guy and a guy, it's a Barney. And at work, all of a sudden, the temperature just opens up in the staff room and everybody was going, "What on earth is going on there?" This could easily have happened with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Wow, yeah, I just jumped straight to the last page. Nearly just finished off. This could have easily happened with Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar, but it doesn't. Because Daniel forgave the king, and when he found out, when God revealed this to him, he didn't go to the king with a smile on his face, a bit of tongue in cheek. No, the possible thing that was in between the king and Daniel was forgiven and therefore moved out of the way. Because in the modern day context, then you can go and you can challenge and stand up against the sin in someone else's life, and there is no hidden agenda attached. They can't question your motives because your motives are pure and true. They don't think, "Do you think he's just saying this because of what I did the other day?" No, when they know that you've forgiven them and that relationship is restored, you, in that moment, have earned the right to one day speak into their life and to one day help them back onto the right path. So you see, Daniel forgave the king, their relationship was restored, and then God revealed terrible sin in the king's life to Daniel. And what does Daniel do once again? Does he just go up to the guy and say, "Hey, but your whole kingdom is going to be wrecked, but that's how it is. I hope you're okay. We'll check you around. Like, just hang in there, but it's going to be all right, eh?" No, Daniel doesn't do that at all. He is so perplexed, he is so filled with compassion for the king that he prays and he thinks hard about how he's going to share this awful news with the king. we should do exactly the same thing. That when God reveals to us that a friend of ours is just not doing something right, they're treating their girlfriend a bit dodgy, or, you know, there's no respect for your parents, hey, teenagers, you see that in your friends' lives? They're going, oh, yeah. Hey? Or a work colleague is just cutting corners, and you just know that the consequences might be severe in the long run. And God's revealed this to you. How you approach that situation is crucial. And Daniel gives us the little how-to. He spends time in prayer. He wonders, how am I going to say this? How am I going to share this extremely bad news with the king? And then God reveals this to him. He is so tactful, hey? He's so tactful. Notice this, that he doesn't say the whole hey dude thing. After he has forgiven King Nebuchadnezzar, notice how he says this in verse 19. And just go back to it. My Lord, if only this dream applied to your enemies and your adversaries. Not, hey, Butch, you better pull up your socks. Man, you can't do that again. Like, if SARS finds out, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to, like, go to prison and die, you know, especially in South African prisons. No, he very gently goes and speaks to the person and in a very loving and kind way. Says, my dear friend, if only this didn't apply to you, but actually it does. So it's the way he addresses the issue that is crucial. And then pick up what he says in verse 22 and verse 20. This is amazing advice for everyday conflict resolution. You first compliment a person. Hey? He does this for King Nebuchadnezzar. He goes, man, you've got a great kingdom. It reaches like all over the world. You have done splendid work. People all over speak about you. It's awesome. But I've got some bad news. The way that you have done this hasn't been right. You have been cruel. You've oppressed people in order to get this right. Friends, it is how we say, but also what we say. And in verse 20 to 22, he compliments Nebuchadnezzar first, and then he speaks the truth in love. Doesn't that change a lot more in our world? Have you ever had anyone speak the truth to you in a very direct and hurtful manner? Has it changed anything in your life? Anybody out there? Anyone? Yes, it changed, yeah. Okay, yes, it did. The orthopedic surgeon told me, you're fat, and if you don't lose weight, at 40, you need back surgery. Just like that. It's working, but my father-in-law's approach was better, I think. It worked better. But anyway, if we go and think about it carefully, I don't think any of us would like that. When someone speaks the truth in love, it just goes a lot deeper, and that's what Daniel did in verse 27. He says to him, all that you've accomplished will be wrecked if you don't. Please accept my advice. If you don't renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness, stop being so wicked. Stop oppressing people. Because I really just want you, King Nebuchadnezzar, to live a good life. If we could do the same with our friends and our family, if we could be clear about our intentions and say to our friends and family, I just want you to live a good life. And then you challenge that bad habit. Say, no, man, don't talk to your parents like that. Like, they're your parents. They've put clothes on your back and food in your stomach and you're looking good, you know? So please don't speak to your parents like that. But we've got to know how to say it, what to say, and then notice when to say it. God revealed to Daniel when he could challenge the sin in Nebuchadnezzar's life to the extent, and unfortunately the guy didn't listen. It took about 7 years for him to come to his senses and then proclaim that is real, heaven rules, and God is most high. And so, how do we apply this to our daily lives today? Let's just take a step back very briefly. Ensure that there's no issue between you and any person that you're going to have a DMC with. Do I need to explain that word again? A deep, meaningful conversation. Got that? Make sure that there's no issue between you and a person that you're going to have a DMC with. If there is an issue, make sure that you've been able to move it aside and still address the sin in someone's life. So if someone has a bad habit that they're really struggling to shake, or they really do something on a regular basis that annoys you, make sure that you can avoid dealing with that right now and just have a gentle, meaningful conversation about the current issue. In Afrikaans, daar's 'n mooi setting, los die ou koeie in die sloot. Or the flip side of the coin, moenie ou koeie in die sloot uitgrawe nie. Okay, you don't get that. And I can't explain that in English. It's just an awesome Afrikaans saying, don't leave a dead cow in the ditch. Don't dig the dead cow out of the ditch. It doesn't work. But you get the idea. That when there's an issue, leave the issue in the past. But most importantly, try and forgive someone and let them know that you've forgiven them about an issue. And then you have the DMC with them. Because once that relationship is healthy and reconciled, pray that God, this is like step three, pray that God will show you how to approach the situation, what to say, and when to say it. The last one might be the most crucial. And then pray even harder that while you have that conversation, that your motives and your intentions are always pure. Wouldn't our world, wouldn't Durban North be amazing if all of us here tonight would follow Daniel's way of life, Daniel's conflict resolution methods? Wouldn't our families be very different? Wouldn't our friendships be nice and reconciled? No catfights to videograph on your phones and post on YouTube. But you might be here tonight, and here comes the challenge. You might be here tonight, and you know that you've got something against someone else right now. The challenge is that you forgive that person and make it known to them that you've forgiven them. Because God might want to use you to challenge sin in their lives. And if there's a massive dead cow in the way, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. Or you might be here tonight, you've forgiven people. There are no dead cows in the way. Then God might be using you tonight to challenge sin in someone else's life. It could be someone quite close to you, a friend or a family member. Pray tonight that God will show you how to deal with that situation, what to say, and when to address it. The worst thing ever is when someone's having a bad day to confront sin in someone's life. Hey? There's a time and place, and most of the time it's not the time, but there will always be a place. God will show you when. And so friends, all of us tonight are challenged. We cannot leave here tonight thinking, oh, okay, well, that was Daniel. We're now living in 2016, and that's just Daniel. Come on. If we as Christians apply this teaching, Daniel's way of life, in our current society, the world's going to start wondering, what are they on about? These oaks are always forgiving each other, reconciling relationships, and even challenging sin in each other's lives. And they still love each other. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because our world will change, our relationships will be genuine, and we will be able to forgive each other at any time. That's not what the world wants us to do. The world wants catfights and eye for an eye and that kind of stuff. That's not God's way. And so tonight you might need to forgive someone. You might need to ask God to help you to confront and stand up against sin in this world. And it might be right in your circle of friends, or right at home tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for Daniel and for the way he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. And we just pray, God, that tonight that you would help us, if there is anyone that we need to forgive, that we would do so and do so quickly. And let them know that we have forgiven them. And in so doing, become your instruments, Lord. Your ways and your tools of reconciliation and forgiveness and repentance in this world. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.